This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Okay, well, legally, I've checked. We, before the advert for Mike Graham, I said to David that we would talk to him then. I've checked with the lawyers, and we do actually have to talk to him. It counts as a what they call an electronic guarantee. So, David.
Hey, that music sounds crap, doesn't it?
I wrote that music.
Oh. Sorry.
I'm really proud of it, actually.
No, I didn't say crap. My voice broke. It is. Right. Rap.
What can we do for you, David Babcock?
Well, I want you to... I've been... As people who know me and you will know, I've been writing this horror book, haven't I?
Yes, you have. 101 ghost... What's it? Is that what it's called? 101 ghost stories?
No, it's called Page Turners and Spine Chillers. Don't laugh at it.
Page Turners and Spine Chillers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because you have pain.
Pain?
You have pages in, you have pages in a book and you have a spine, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It works on two levels.
And you just check in. You've checked that title hasn't been used already, yeah?
I'm not as clever as that. I'm just going for it.
What's it called? Page chillers and what?
Page turners and spine chillers. I think I've Googled it. No, it doesn't exist. Copyright, Babcock.
I cannot see it. You're right. You've got it. Okay, well done. Well done.
Swivel on that.
Oh, right. Watch your language.
Come on.
Sorry.
We're heading in a newsier direction now, can't you tell?
Sorry. Well, you want Chuck Winkle for that, not me.
No, we don't.
Hey, I want a quote from you.
A quilt?
A quote. I've just sent you a message, right? Are you on WhatsApp?
I'm doing a radio show, but let's have a look. David Babcock. How did you get my personal number?
Kath gave it me.
Kath!
Sorry, I was fed up of him phoning me.
Flipping heck, mate. What's your quote for the book front cover?
And do you want to see the book front cover?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this on air? This should be a private...
No, I don't know.
David Babcock. I can't read what it says at the bottom.
Click it.
No, I've clicked it. Well done, David. Mary Lynn, David's mum. Gosh darn it, John Wayne. This is a book. Chuck Winkle, US journalist. 4 stars, Ghosts Weekly magazine. I literally... SH1T myself, Derek Bramble, paranormal journalist. With respect, David.
Yeah.
That was the quote I sent you from me.
Oh, God.
Wasn't it?
I knew I'd got it from somewhere. for God's sake.
Yeah, I sent you that. So Derek Bramble has stolen my quote.
He must have been listening.
Must have read your mind.
My quote is, Derek Bramble stole my quote.
I'll do that. That's even better.
Thank you very much indeed, David Babcock. He's actually writing a book. He's written a book. He's going to come in when he's...
Well, you say he's written a book. I wrote about 3 of the stories.
I wrote 2 of them. He's kind of going to come in when the book is written and talk about it, which I'm very, very excited about. Gatford!
Hey! No? Yeah. Okay, fine.
No.
What were we supposed to do to that?
Well, I don't know.
Join in?
What? I don't know. It's
sounded
late.
Disappointed.
Sorry. Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Good evening.
Good evening. And if you're checking out films about people being buried alive, when I was trying to find your one, I came across one that I remember watching when I was younger called The Screaming Woman. It's another 70s one. and it's about a woman who gets
screams
committed
a lot.
To a, no, well, she gets committed to a mental hospital for rest, and she, as she's walking around the ground, she hears the screams of a woman buried, and her family use it, and they, no one believes her, and they try and get her committed, you know, and get all her money taken away. And it's that kind, not quite as scary as your one. It's not based on a true story, but I remember watching it and being absolutely terrified of it as a kid.
But she gets buried in it.
No,
I wasn't
listening.
No,
She thinks she believes she hears the screams of a buried woman in the grounds of this.
Is anyone buried in it?
Yep.
But they gaslight her and say it's not happening.
Yep.
Who is buried in it?
The woman that she hears.
A screaming woman.
Right, but who is that scream? Why is this such a difficult conversation? Who...
Well, I haven't seen it in a while. I can't remember the ending. I can't remember if she's real or not.
Oh.
But it terrified me as a kid that there was somebody buried and you know, buried alive, and that she could hear her, but she couldn't find her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't sound as...
No, it sounds good. Just remember. Apparently this Candy Snatchers film is real. From 1973, it's the one where I just played it, and it had all jolly kinds of music and stuff on there. But it was
you clicked on a link from Lena. Are you okay?
Yeah, here's the thing: it was images of some beautiful teenagers kidnapping and shooting kids.
Oh my
that's
god!
That's what was going on in 1973 style. No, that's a no, is it, Kath?
That's a hard no from
that's me. That's a no. Kath is out of the Candy Snatchers. Is anybody in? No.
Do you know what I'm fed up of?
Yeah.
Anything that's got a woman being murdered in it, everything—it's always a woman.
If I can find a thing where it's men being murdered, would you watch that with me?
I don't really want to watch people being murdered.
Well...
Call me squeamish.
All right, you don't see the murder. Shut up! You don't see the murder, but you hear the murder.
No, still
you don't
out.
Hear the murder. No. You read that someone reads a letter about a murder.
No mercy, not for me.
So a murder happened, but you don't. They don't even mention it.
No thanks.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Yes, Gatford.
Do you remember the furore over the girl with the dragon tattoo about people suggesting that it was very misogynistic?
I do remember. Yeah, it's a boring
and
book.
I worked with someone who, anytime anybody brought that book into work, used to go around and rip the last few pages out.
Oh, now come on.
Well, that's not nice.
No, I know, and I desperately wanted to buy the book, bring it in, have her do it, and then have a go at it.
I read the book. I think I enjoyed that. My father-in-law bizarrely got into the trilogy, but then Stieg Larsson died, and then like someone wrote...
Yeah, someone else took it over.
There are so many... This is what I'm trying to get at, right? Earlier on, I was talking about Stephen King. There are so many authors who stopped writing, either because they died or just because in Stephen King's, because I think he went bonkers. He started taking
books under a pseudonym, didn't he? For
Richard.
Didn't he have a raging coke habit at one point?
I said, okay, let's all just try and focus on one point at a time. Richard Harkness or Richard. It was something like that, right? So he wrote under a pseudonym. Then he became a massive cokehead, and then I think some of his books were written by other people. I could be wrong. I do know that a friend of my sister's, I think, stepped out in front of him while he was driving, and Stephen King gave him the bird. I believe that happened. I'd have to check that, Joe. If you're listening, if you could let me know. Now, because of you two, I've completely lost my
Roger
train of
Hargreaves.
What?
His boy writes the books now, doesn't he?
Mr. Men, yeah. Oh, yeah, so a lot of authors don't write their books anymore. Catherine Cookson doesn't write her books anymore.
No.
Who?
Frank Herbert, his kid, now writes all the Dune books, Kevin Herbert.
Which is stupid. Why? It's like...
What?
Sorry?
Hello?
Oh, I thought you meant me.
Well, you are, but no, it's stupid. Why should my kid be able to do this radio show? Just because of the DNA?
I don't know, but I'd like to hear it.
It will happen one day. The youngest will do it, definitely.
No, I know what you mean. Just because why do you necessarily have to be...
There was a story the other day that Tolkien's youngest son had died.
Mm-hmm.
They showed a picture of him. He was like a really, really old man.
He was 90-odd, wasn't he?
He was nearly 100.
I think he took over writing. I think he finished The Silmarillion, which Tolkien wrote. I think you're right, it's another one. You're correct, there's an epidemic.
The reason why the sons do it is to keep the money.
Oh, no. Oh, come on.
They do. The father will copyright it and it'll be part of his estate.
To carry on the father's...
The legacy and the money, yes.
Outrageous, Gatford. Thank you so much for that. You're cold. A cold-hearted woman.
This is the second time you've said that today.
Making love
what?
To me.
What?
This is Talk Radio.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
It's good,
Jazzy. Bring my guitar in tomorrow and I jab along. I'll bring the master tapes and we'll deconstruct it. May take a couple of shows, actually. We'll do that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll deconstruct the... Because there's so many tracks in it.
Yeah.
0344 499 1000, Late Night Alternative, Ian Lee. That's true.
And me.
And Catherine Boyle. I was going to get that.
You weren't, though, were you?
No, I wasn't, actually. Dead sperm. Dead men's sperm. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum and some dead men's sperm. I'm not going to continue that rhyme. Dead sperm. Everybody's talking about it.
Well, you are a lot.
Where can I get it? Where can I get it? I want it. Men should be allowed to donate their sperm after death. Genuine question. I don't want any jokes about stiffs or anything like that. How do they get it? Genuine question. As that is a genuine question. Catherine is... You are outrageous. That is a genuine question. How do you get dead men's sperm?
Well, and also, you know, like with the other sort of donation, organ donation, they have to do it when you're not quite dead. Is it that?
No, they don't. You're telling me they take your heart out when you're not quite dead?
Not quite.
So not quite dead means alive.
Well,
you're telling me they take your eyes and your heart out when you're alive.
No.
I'm really sorry, Mrs. Boyle, but your husband is dead. Well, he's dying.
Yeah.
We really need his heart and his eyes and his kidneys now.
I've seen it.
When's he going to die? Could be in a minute, might be in a week. If we have them now, it could save up to 5 other people.
What, eyes? Who's getting what?
He only came in to have his verrucas done. You can donate your eyes.
Yeah, no, I've got a donor card. You can have everything.
Don't want it.
Take the lot.
Here's the thing. You said that to me at a drunken Christmas party once.
I bloody never.
Here's the thing. A lot of people will not donate their eyes.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
That's weird. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't donate my hand because, of course... There is the famous story, isn't there?
Of the murderer.
The guy that got a hand transplant and then he went around strangling people because the guy who he got the hand from was a famous murderer. It's true that that story was made, that there is a movie where that happens. I don't know the basis.
I don't think it was a documentary.
Well, most movies have an element of truth in. You can't just make up a story. It comes from experience. So someone somewhere...
What, like Willy Wonka?
Yeah. Again, back to the dead sperm. Men... We're heading in a newsier direction, guys. I really hope you
can't
get the change
tell?
Of vibe.
Can't you tell?
Men should be allowed to donate their sperm after death. Say experts, or as I call them, sexperts. Or perverts. Medics want rules changed so British blokes...
Best of beef.
Can pass on their semen like organs and other human tissue. Ooh, I wouldn't want another human's tissue. It would mean men could end up fathering a child years after they have died. So it'd be zombie babies. The UK currently has a shortage of donor sperm. of donor sperm, and demand is on the rise. Feed me now!
So what's the thought then? People aren't doing it while they're alive in case what? They get chased for maintenance.
No.
But once you're dead, what are they going to do?
No, well, they changed the law, didn't they?
Yeah, they can look you up.
They can, if you donate, because it used to be a big earner in the 90s. I considered it.
Students, yeah.
I considered it. You get £15 a pop.
Make your hobby your job.
And, but you can, well, you could only do it like once every 4 days or something. But yeah, and then you go and it was anonymous. You get 15 quid a pop. I know people that did it. I considered it. And then like 10, 15 years later, they changed the law so that the kids who nothing to do with you could come and find you. One bloke I know had 168 people turn
Shut
up on his door.
True,
they had to hire 4 minibuses.
Do you remember when we were talking to people who were doing it on Facebook?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, because
no.
they said that IVF was too expensive, so they were buying samples on Facebook from sometimes. Let's
oh,
not.
Oh, this was true. We did
mince
actually.
Our words, dodge pots.
It was
some people who wanted to give it fresh, if you know what I mean.
It was bloke. It was quite often. It was lesbian couples
yeah.
who couldn't get a donor through legitimate. This is absolutely true. It sounds made up through legitimate ways, and didn't have like a male friend that was or didn't have a male friend. So they would go on Facebook and blokes were advertising semen.
Yeah.
I was going to say, nearly said a rude word then. And sometimes it would be like they'd come round and they'd deliver it in a little pot. But sometimes they'd want to...
Straight to source.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to deliver it door to door, and one door being a lady's door. What about 1 in 6 couples struggles with infertility, with half of issues linked to the male partner? Okay. So half of them are linked to the female partner. That's fine. That's, you know. Writing in the Journal of Medical Ethics, experts claim harvesting samples. When will there be a harvest for the world?
They knew.
The Christians, who ironically would actually be against this. Is
not all Christians.
A morally acceptable solution to the problem. Dr. Nathan Hodson of Leicester University and Dr. Joshua Parker from Pornhub...
No.
...say the ability to reproduce matters to people, and donated sperm enables many to fulfil their reproductive... I should say, by the way, we are actually helping with this. So if you've got any, just send it to us in a jiffy.
Please don't, because someone
in
will...
a jiffy, I did a joke!
I know, but don't...
You walked all over it!
I don't care, because I really don't... I can't tell you enough not to do that, because someone will know, and no. You're opening it.
Please. No, 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 just send it to us in a jiffy, marked... of course, this is the Matthew Wright Show. But they admitted changing the rules could raise ethical concerns as it will impact both the child and the donor's family.
Yeah.
It is also unclear who would pay for the procedure. Oh, I've seen how they do it! Oh, I've seen how they do it! Dirty buggers! Who's the person who thought of that? Who's the person who thought of that?
I don't know if I want that idea implanted in my head. Maybe don't tell us. Maybe we should just Google it if we want.
Research shows sperm retrieved up to 48 hours after death can result in viable pregnancies. Oh, you dirty... Who was the first person who said, I know what we'll do, he's dead, let's see if we can get it out using this?
Oh, my God, no.
It's usually collected through electrical stimulation of the prostate gland. Flipping heck! That is... Quick, shove a 9-volt up his jacksie.
Flipping.
That is outrageous! That is awful. But I'd like to see it. If I'm being honest, I'm now thinking YouTube. YouTube during the next news. You look at the mucky site. Other sperm experts... Daddy, what do you do, Daddy? I'm a sperm expert. Object to the idea. Alan Pacey, professor of andrology, said it feels like a backward step to recruit donors who are dead. Here's how stupid I am. I heard another radio host talking about this, and he said that they already do it in Denmark, right? And this is how thick I am, right? And how thick most people are, right? He said they already do it in Denmark. And I thought to myself, well, that doesn't make sense. The babies would grow up speaking Dutch.
Oh, mate.
Genuinely thought that. Only for about 30 or 45 minutes. And then I realised how dumb that was on, okay, on at least one, possibly two fronts. I'm not totally sure what the languages they speak over in Denmark. But I did genuinely believe that. And this is the thing, right? I did honestly think, well, they'd end up speaking, the babies would speak Dutch. Genuinely thought that. And then obviously I recalibrated and thought that was a stupid, stupid thing. But most people would phone up a phone-in show and go, well, babies will be speaking Dutch.
We'd love it. We'd clip it and put it on YouTube.
Oh, man. What a world. It doesn't feel right to me. But it doesn't feel right to me. Does it feel right to you?
No, not really, no.
You're desperate for a baby. You're desperate for a baby.
I don't really want a Franken baby.
You're desperate for a baby. The thing is, you're all grizzled.
Beg your pardon?
You are tired, old, grizzled mother of two, right? So you're done. You're done.
I really am done.
You're done.
Despite a lot of people begging for me to do a little bit more for the genetic well-being of this country, but no.
What? Who wants you to have another baby?
The gene pool. The gene pool wants me to.
We could make a show,
no,
babe.
No, let's not.
Me?
Nope.
Oh. We don't have to look at each other.
I didn't in the first two places anyway.
So. Okay. Sorry?
Ew.
What?
What an image.
All right, why don't you and Sam have a baby?
I don't want a baby with anyone. I'm done. But not because I'm gnarled.
All right. Leave it with me, Sam. I'll sort it out. You're gnarled, as you say, gnarled and grizzled.
I never said that.
And saggy. And
saggy
you
as well now. Okay.
Have lost the desire to have a baby. But
no, I know what the reality is.
Exactly.
Think. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But if
I'm done.
I know. We got the idea. The shop is closed and the council are going to come and knock it down and build flats. We get that. But at the moment...
You're going to turn it into a wine bar.
But at the moment, there are some homeless people squatting in there. And it's graffitied and smells of spice. But
all right!
We're moving in a newsier direction, guys. I really hope you're picking up on that.
That sounded like just a stream of insults to me, but actually it was a comment on modern-day society.
You know, the head of the Arias is going, can we get those guys off of those two lists? Can we just remove them from those two lists? I thought the whole show was saving people's lives. I didn't realise it was filth and misogyny. But what I'm saying is, if you're desperate for a baby, one would imagine you would go to any lengths. Well, we talked about the people on Facebook who would get mucky sods coming round, you know, special delivery.
Yeah.
So you, some
the
people...
The problem being that these fellas, the Facebook fellas as well...
One fella had done it like 100 times.
Well, there you go. And before you know it, you've got kids growing up and not realising that they are hooking up with their siblings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very real possibility.
It really is. It really is. Yeah.
So anyway, no, I wouldn't.
Oh, don't cry. Hey, don't cry.
I wouldn't.
Okay, don't cry, though. Don't need to cry about it. Hey, come on. Don't cry. No need to cry about it. What are you crying for?
It's just so sad.
Yeah, it is. It's a very sad situation. We've got another... I thought we were coming to the end of the show. We were thinking, where's Daryl? Oh, he's not coming for another hour and 4 minutes.
Can I tell you about... you were talking about heist earlier on.
Heist!
A bank robber.
Yep. We've got 4 minutes. Can you do this?
A very quick one.
We're in. Don't make it too quick, because we've got 4 minutes.
I can do 4 minutes.
All right.
Ready?
Here we go.
A bank robber put a pillowcase over his head to hide his identity. Hide
the identity.
And then had to take it off because he couldn't see. He'd forgotten to put eye holes in it.
Oh, no. No.
Matthew Davis failed to create eye holes in the cover. ahead of an armed raid at a bank in Dunfermline in Fife last September.
He forgot to put eye holes in it. So he just got a pillowcase. Flipping heck.
The 47-year-old, who threatened staff with a meat cleaver,
left the branch with nearly
£2,000, but was later arrested.
Yeah.
Davis of Dunfermline pleaded guilty to a charge of assault and robbery. A hearing at the High Court in Glasgow heard how Davis entered the Bank of Scotland branch and then pulled the meat cleaver from the pillowcase before putting the bedding item on to cover his face. But the failure to create eye holes meant he had to take it off.
Yes!
After threatening staff, Davis was initially given about £300, but the 47-year-old demanded more cash and also warned he would hurt a female customer if it was not handed over. Davis then repeatedly battered a glass partition at the bank's counter with a meat cleaver and left the branch with £1,980.
Good haul.
The court heard how a witness then followed Davis from the branch straight to his house.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't... Okay, right.
Didn't he stop to pet a dog, I heard, as well?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you would. You have your fingerprints off in its fur.
Right. Police later found the cash and the pillowcase consistent with what he put over his head at his house. They also discovered a stun gun. God. Lord Turnbull remanded Davis in custody ahead of sentencing on the 21st of February. Could have been the perfect crime. The eye holes.
Okay, so you couldn't make that last for 4 minutes. All right, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. You're 2 minutes short. That's fair enough.
We can laugh for 2 minutes.
Stephen!
Hello, Ian. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Stephen.
So, I just wanted to correct you. It's not mucky. I have been a Facebook donor, and I've talked about it at great length on James Wells' show, actually. So, James knows my situation very well.
Okay, well, James isn't here, and he called Greta Thunberg Greta Funbag, so I've gone off him quite a lot. So, why don't you tell us how you do it?
Right, so... It's a bit like a dating site. You have to find your own agreements between the people. You know what I mean? So you're right that one couple I helped were a lesbian couple, but another was a single woman who had a teenage daughter, but she wanted another baby, but didn't want a man in her life. She was through with men. She'd broken up with her partner, but she just wanted a second child. So there's no money changing hands. The woman has to pay for, like, a cheap hotel if you travel to her town, and she pays your travel expenses. So a train to, you know, it'd be unfair of me to give locations,
So a train to Bangor?
Yeah. If it was in Wales.
A
train, and then, say, a room in a travel lodge or Premier Inn or...
Classy.
You know, anywhere like that.
Yep.
And then... lead me to it, and then, you know, she'd provide a container and say, text me when you're done. She'd come to the hotel once I've texted her back and said, yeah, well, I've done what I've done. And then she'd take it back to her place and syringe herself.
The turkey baster. And how does she know that you're clean?
They take your word for it, basically.
Flipping out. Well, that is stupid.
Well,
that's stupid. That's really, really dumb and dangerous.
Both those examples, both the lesbian couple and the single woman, both sort of chatted to me prior to it.
Oh, they chatted to you, and they're halfway through, they snuck in. Have you got AIDS? No. Nope. Ah, that's really dumb. Stephen, you got to admit, that's dumb. To not have any medical checks on a sperm donor is dumb. That's a really selfish, silly thing to do.
I mean, I knew I was clean.
When were you last tested?
Oh, quite a long time ago.
Okay, right. And have you had sex?
Yes.
Right. How do you know you're clean?
Well, I tend to use protection myself.
Right. It's not infallible.
I know.
So how do you know you're clean? I'm not trying to catch you out, but genuinely, we don't. You don't. And a lot of these, from watching the excellent Channel 4 documentary Sex Clinic, a lot of these STIs, or whatever they are now, I always get slightly wrong, they can be in you for years and not have any... symptoms. So you don't know you're clean. I got to say, again, people, this shows how desperate people are, but the potential mums to not get any medical check. This is why doing sperm donorship officially is good, because the sperm is checked to make sure it's not, you know, the person is checked out to make sure there's no infectious diseases.
You see, but you're right, what you said earlier, one of you, that these people cannot do it through the NHS because they don't qualify, or, you know, like in the case of the single woman, she already had a child, so, well, she's at the back of the queue, you know.
So you do back, you're happy to, honestly, I mean, listen, no, I'm going to, oh, God damn it, I'm going to, it sounds dumb, it sounds dangerous, it sounds absolutely ridiculous.
But if, like you said, if women are desperate enough,
they'll take a risk at maybe getting given their baby HIV or something, or getting murdered in a travelodge, or any kind of not. Well, yeah, Stephen, yes, because there is no protection for them in all senses of the word.
They're not going to be murdered, Ian. You're going to be extravagant.
No, I'm not being... Stephen, I'm not being extravagant. You're going to go and masturbate in a hotel room and they're going to come and collect it. Yeah, there's a chance they could get murdered, mate. I'm not saying you're a murderer and you say you're clean. Well, you haven't been tested, so you don't know. But, yeah, they could get murdered. They're going to meet a strange man in a hotel room for semen.
No, because in the case of the lesbian couple, they stayed in the same hotel, which was clever of them, because time is of the essence, you know, because time matters, you know, because it starts to...
It starts to congeal. You're not addressing the murder potential. And it's not, I'm not being flippant, and we're late for the news, we'll go to the next. I'm not being flippant, I'm being genuine. That's a real risk to a woman who is in such a desperate position that she's having to use back street. I don't know if it's illegal or not.
No, probably not, it's probably
a bit fuzzy, but is having to use a back street method to get semen from a strange bloke, with respect, that she's met off Facebook. Yes, of course there's a potential to be attacked.
But, look, the couple, the lesbian couple, were a few doors away from me. So I did what I did. When I'd finished, I knocked on their door and said,
"Room service."
Hand it over. You know, I mean, there were two of them. There was one of me.
Yeah, because one man's never murdered two women before. I think you're deliberately avoiding the point that there is certainly, not necessarily in your case, but there is certainly an element of risk for personal safety for the woman involved, meeting a bloke on Facebook who's prepared to masturbate in a hotel bathroom for them.
Yeah, it's very offensive thinking of me as a murderer, Ian. Come on. I mean, you know.
Well, Stephen, you're not listening. Because I said I didn't say you were a murderer.
Well, you said potential murder. I mean, come on.
No, Stephen, you're not. Here's what I'm finding a lot of people doing. You're not listening.
You said potential murder. Yeah, I know potential.
No, you're not. You're not listening. I said it probably isn't you, but you could be a potential murderer. Yes.
Yeah, but you could, couldn't you?
Yeah, I could be. But I'm not meeting women in hotel rooms and masturbating for them so they can get pregnant.
Well, it didn't harm anyone.
But you don't know. I'm just speaking as I find it. How much do you charge for this?
No, you're not allowed to charge either way. You don't pay them. They don't pay.
So you're just doing it for the. Just doing it for the. So what? Is this a kick? You're getting a kick out of this? Is this a kink?
Look, I've not been so lucky as you two. I've never been married. I've never fathered children. I've got an illness. I might pass away before very long, and I'd like to have the psychological. Knowing that I've fathered children.
So it's selfish. Okay, sorry, I thought you were being altruistic. So it's selfish on your part?
In a way, but also
they
wanted to have children as
that's
well.
That's awful. So, that makes it even worse. If you don't mind me asking, what's your illness? Is it genetic?
No, it won't be passed on to them. No.
Okay, that's really sad. So do you ever meet these kids?
No, as it happened, neither example took. The single woman was too far from her town. She lived in a village miles away from the town in which I was based at, and she took forever to drive to collect it. And I knew that probably wouldn't work because the temperature would have changed it.
See, here's the thing, Stephen. You're messing around with science and medicine when neither of you have a clue what you're doing. It is dangerous. It is dangerous. It is arrogant on your part. It was too far for her to drive. Dear God. Listen, I'm sure you probably got a really easy ride on James Whale's show. In all honesty, this makes me very, very uncomfortable. I'm not convinced that anybody involved in this is doing this for the right reasons. And to get semen from someone you've met on Facebook, I bought a stereo on Facebook that didn't work. So for God's sakes, who knows what kind of diseases that people like you, not you, people like you might have. No, I think that sounds very, very dodgy. I would recommend everyone do it. Everyone, if you want to do it officially. Don't meet a sperm donor on Facebook.
What about people that put powder up their nose, which I've never done? I mean, I suppose that's fine and dandy, is it? To put powder up your nose, yeah?
Sorry, can you be addicted to semen?
Well, are you having a dig at me for being a cocaine addict? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Why?
You seem to be very proud of being a druggie and alcoholic. You bring up every single episode of this show.
It's incorrect, like, oh, Stephen.
Look at me. No. I've struggled. Some of us have had a bloody tough life.
I've had a bloody tough life, Stephen.
You know, Christ.
I've had a tough life. No, what I'm proud of, Stephen, and if you don't like the show, very, very welcome to switch off. In fact, I wish you would.
Thank you.
But what you're ignoring... Oh, he's put the phone down. He's put the phone down just because I called him out for his weird backstreet sperm donation club. What was that? I'm not proud of putting cocaine up my nose. I'm not proud of it. I've done it. I'm honest about it. I'll tell you what I am proud of, that I managed to stop putting cocaine up my nose. That's what I'm proud of. I managed to stop for 13 years. Then I had a little wobble and I've managed to stop for nearly 2 years. I'm 2 months off of 2 years. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of sharing the message of recovery. I'm proud of sharing the message of hope and sobriety. I'm proud to speak to my brothers and sisters who are addicts and alcoholics and sex addicts and drug addicts and be used as an example to show you that even the most hopeless junkie that spent thousands of pounds a week on cocaine and would lock myself in a bedroom watching pornography for days on end, the most hopeless addict who pissed away my entire career, I managed to come back for that. So I'm not proud of being a drug addict. I'm not ashamed of it. It's my history. It's me. But I'm proud of the recovery. And I'm really sorry, Stephen, that you didn't feel confident enough in what you do to defend it and that you had to put the phone down when you challenged me. I will say, obviously, getting sperm off of someone you don't know that you've met on Facebook. I wasn't being flippant. I bought a stereo on Facebook, 15 quid. It didn't work. You don't know what... Oh, unlucky for me, I got a bit of junk that doesn't work. I haven't got an STI or HIV or anything like that. Or a genetic disease being passed on to my baby. Stephen, you're better than that. Or maybe you're not. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.